As the NFL season gets set to get underway, we're talking season openers on Journey with Bernie.
To see 80,000 people in the old Cleveland Municipal Stadium when that first orange helmet hits out of the old baseball dugout, that roar of the crowd, the shaking of the stadium. You want to be out there enjoying, taking in. People say smell the roses, take in the environment, take it all in. That's absolutely was not possible for me. We played the University of Auburn in the kickoff classic. The late great Howard Stellenberger had us play Heisman Trophy winner Bo Jackson. So that when you start out at that level of play, it's way easier said than done to realize that it's a long season. So it was kind of cool for me and Bake to kind of be walking around the stadium, and he's like, hey, I think this is the first time I ever done this. I go, I'm 57, it's only the second time I've ever done this, so I don't think you're gonna get too used to it. This is the first year that I absolutely not only believe it, know it, that we're a good football team.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Bernie, where we explore the tales previously told and untold with Browns quarterback legend Bernie Kosar. I'm John Kosick, along with a man who needs no introduction, the namesake of the program. Welcome, Bernie.
Welcome. Good to be with you.
Well, today we're talking about the most anticipated day of the year for fan and player alike, the opener, correct?
Opening day. Absolutely. It's really, yes, it's the beginning of the season, but it's really the culmination of the offseason, the process, the preparation of training camp, of getting ready for the start of the season. That culmination of that process is so relieving, is so exciting, but then really the pressure of knowing your season starting and all that work you put into it, now it's really test time for it. Everybody wants to start out with a victory. Everybody wants to start out winning, myself included. I love, as I got older, understanding that maturity of it, and the late great our coach Marty Schottenheimer. Marty was so prepared. He had us so ready in training camp. Probably to this day, probably over prepared, over hit, over practiced in training camp, especially by today's standards. But to go into that first game, you want to win it, but Marty would always say, that's just one of 16 games. It's a long season. And if you get that first game and you get that win, you have that massive adrenaline rush. It feels like it solidifies your work ethic and everything you've kind of done in the offseason to get ready for it. But if you don't win that first game, you have some of those self-doubts and stuff. And when you have a good leader like we had with Coach Marty, and some of our initial points of the season, we did not start out the season well. So when you have that type of maturity and that type of leadership where you know it's a long season, that really helps get through that type of situation.
There's an old saying most associated with baseball's opening day, hope springs eternal. Alexander Pope penned that, and he also penned the phrase fools rush in, proving that he was a sports fan. But it really does, everything's reset. We're all in first place. We're all in last place. And regardless of what happened last year, do you really go in with that mentality that, hey, any given Sunday?
Hey, the Al Pacino, any given Sunday, anything could happen. You really do go in with last year doesn't matter. And if you are resting on last year's laurels, or you're concerned about last year, or your confidence or self-esteem or belief in yourself, is it all wavering? The outcome will not be positive at all. So absolutely that rush of anticipation of wanting to get started is there. And then that absolute belief in yourself that you can do this is absolutely predominant in your mind. But again, you so astutely point out, whether you did it last year or not, this is a new year. This is a reset. This is a chance to start over. Whether you're the favored and everybody's hunting you, or you're the team that is the long shot, you have that hope. You have that aspiration, you have that belief. And it's, again, even though it's the pros, even though it's a professional sport, it really does bring out the little boy in you, that hope springs eternal, that you're starting off the season and you can be that Cinderella story. You know, our team this year, we're going into it for really one of the first times this century with massive expectations, with real genuine belief in ourselves. Typically, we've been the team that's maybe not been expected to be good during during the season. We've been the kind of the Cinderella story, or wanting to be the Cinderella story. That really didn't materialize too well last year. I really think we started laying that foundation towards a really good team, and we're starting out this year as a team that's probably being one of the hunted teams.
Now, a big reason for that, of course, is the man in your former position, quarterback Baker Mayfield, and I know that you and Baker got to have a little fun recently. The fans are going to see a little bit later this fall in the form of the third season of the Progressive at home insurance commercials. I know you can't get into the details of the commercial that you shot, but in general, what was that like?
Me, not wanting to quit my day job, knowing that acting skills aren't probably in my future. Bake, not only has a phenomenal job on the field as a quarterback, he did a phenomenal job handling himself in these commercials. So to be running around the stadium, basically the two of us hanging out for the day was a lot of fun for me. And actually, one of the, and again, not to over talk about some of the personal stuff we talk about during it, but one of the things that I kind of find funny from that day was, and you've been with me, you in particular have been with me through so many times at stadiums walking around, where I don't think I've ever seen where I'm at within a football stadium. I don't know how, you know, when you walk around and stuff, because you're so used to playing on the field. You're never in the concourse. You know, you're never really in the stands. You're the player and stuff. So it was kind of cool for me and Bake to kind of be walking around the stadium. And he's like, hey, I think this is the first time I've ever done this. And I go, I'm 57. It's only the second time I've ever done this. So I don't think you're going to get too used to it.
It was 25 years ago. It was the last time you put on the pads and ran through the tunnel on an opening day with the Miami Dolphins. But do you still get that opening day feeling?
Oh, the rush, the goosebumps, the adrenaline, the anticipation. Just like you said, the expectation, the reset, the anticipation of a new season. Yes, it's the fall, but you know, hope springs eternal. The anticipation of what may lay in wait for you, what the opportunity that you may be able to accomplish with a group of guys that really becomes a bond and a family. And yeah, it was 25 years ago, but as we're joking on air, we were joking off air about it seems like just yesterday. And those type memories, I think keep your spirit alive, keep your energy level up, really make you keep you that little boy in you. But it's part of why we all really love NFL football. We love the start of fall football season. Labor Day really springs that back to school mentality. To me, it brings back fall football.
36 years ago was your first opener with the Browns, September 8th, 1985. You weren't the starter, Gary Danielson was, but did that give you the opportunity to kind of sit back and take it all in? Do you remember anything about that day?
Yeah, I remember playing on the old baseball field where we had a monsoon, and the baseball field turned into basically a swampland. And the great Ozzie Newsome caught a touchdown pass on a screen pass from the great Gary Danielson, who was one of my massive mentors who helped transition the game in for me. But to see 80,000 people in the old Cleveland Municipal Stadium. You know, you've heard me talk about it quite a bit. You've heard quite a few players over the decades, got over the centuries now, talk about when that first orange helmet hits out of the old baseball dugout, that roar of the crowd, the shaking of the stadium. Again, even still to this day, brings back the memories, the goosebumps of that. You know, I'm, as a kid growing up in Northeastern Ohio, watching Browns games all those years, knowing the magnitude and the importance of football in our community, football in our lives, football in our families, the importance of high school, college, now the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. Your feelings on Monday are directly correlated to what happens on Sunday between 1 and 4 o'clock. So when our football team wins, it's such a massive relief and such a massive positive feeling for us and our community, us and our area. You know, and for you now all of a sudden to be one of the players, one of the quarterbacks, one of the guys responsible for those feelings, good or bad, that responsibility, those memories, the magnitude of that was something that I'm really proud of to have gone through.
What was your typical opening weekend like starting on Friday? Did you have a routine every year pretty much that you stuck to?
Well, getting ready for games, getting ready for any of the games, especially the first game. Yeah, there was a big routine. And again, just so what we were talking about, yes, it was fun. Yes, there was, it seems like one heck of an honor, and it absolutely is an honor to have been the quarterback, to have played, been the one of the players out there, being a part of that, these openers, these games. But it was also a sense of responsibility of it. And just like we were talking about earlier, that responsibility to do good, knowing that so many of us, our feelings, our families, our sense of enjoyment was directly correlated to what happens on that field. It was a lot easier enjoying it when you weren't the guy responsible for the W or the L. So when you were the guy responsible for those wins and losses on a typical like Friday, game week, really game week, things really changed in terms of, you know, you want to be nice. You want to be out there enjoying, taking in. People say smell the roses, take in the environment, take it all in. That's absolutely was not possible for me. There was no ability to take in the whole surroundings of it. You know, as an old man now, absolutely wish I was able to have enjoyed that part of the process, the crowd, the people, the smell in the air, but the responsibility and the magnitude of somehow, some way, the old Jimmy Johnson line of somehow, some way, figuring out how to win, that responsibility, that task was not easy to do. So by Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was so locked in on my routine of playing. So I know exactly what I was doing on Wednesday. You'd be putting on first down runs, understanding what the opposing team's defense is doing to you. On Thursday, you absolutely understand what you're going to do on 3rd and 3 to 6, 3rd and 7 to 11, and 3rd and 11 plus. On Friday, you're figuring out how you are going to run your 2-minute plays and how you're going to throw passes inside the 20-yard line, in the scoring zone, inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5. You're so precise in how you're locking in on your game plan, on your plays on Wednesday, first down, Thursday, third down, Friday, scoring zone, and 2-minute drills. Saturday, goal line plays, refresh all of your plays, fine tune them, understand what the defense is doing to you. So by Sunday, you're locked and loaded, understanding exactly what plays you want to do. And that whole mindset of that did not allow any real time and really bandwidth of energy to really take in the other things around you, because to pull off understanding all of those kind of calculations within your head and then being able to put them in your head and understand them and then get out there and physically be able to do them when you really ran a 5.5 40 and you were kind of slow, you could barely bench press a 185, you had to really balance that physical limitations with that mental ability of stuff you put together during the week. And you're really on Sunday really hoping that you didn't get your brains beaten too bad, that mental ability stayed strong and you could remember it through the course of Sunday afternoon between 1 and 4 o'clock.
I always said that a quarterback, we talked about this before, that if you were to think about everything you needed to be doing from the snap of the ball to its release, you'd be sacked every time. It's muscle memory of doing that preparation during the week that gets you to the point where you don't think, you just do.
Absolutely. So right on with that. I mean, to do, again, a 3-step drop where you know you have to execute the snap, take the snap, analyze the defense, look downfield. You're getting 5 steps back in your 3-step drop that you must get back in 1.6 to 1.75 seconds so that you could throw the ball on time and in rhythm in 1.7 to 2.1 seconds, because on a three-step drop to throw a six-yard out to the outside at 17 and a half yards, those corners will squat on that ball and be able to make that play. And again, see my previous answer. I ran a 5.5 5.40, so the ability for me to go tackle that defensive back to him to not make a pick six is highly challenged. So I need to make sure I get my throws right on my timing. And that all that timing stuff, in the heat of battle, if you have to think about it, you're so astutely right. You have no chance to pull that off. It has to be muscle memory, a confidence in yourself, a belief. And then you've done that so much that you just know you're capable, you are able to do that.
You talked about Marty Schottenheimer. Did different coaches have different approaches to openers? Were there, you know, do you give a speech for an opener, or is there nothing left to say to motivate, because you're just ready to run through a wall at that point?
Yeah, you know what? There's different coaches have different ways of motivating you for the games. Albeit I'd like to pretend to be stoic, calm, and cool. And as a quarterback, a lot of times that is the personality as a leader that, especially in the old days, that they wanted us quarterbacks to be. But inside, you were rolling. You were excited. You were happy. The emotions were, you could barely contain yourself for that. So there really is kind of a balance for that. So some of the coaches had you ready really to run through walls, and that's absolutely enjoyed that part of it too. But again, Marty had a really good approach to it. And I think Coach Stefanski does an exceptional job of doing this, and it was massively clear his maturity level as a first-year coach last year, acting like a seasoned veteran coach. Really, it's a day at a time and a game at a time. Do the best, the Howard Schnellenberger philosophy, he told me, do the best you can today. Tomorrow takes care of itself. Boy, these veteran coaches, and Marty was good at this, of making sure, we wanted to run through that wall, but in case we ran through that wall and that wall hurt us, we also had to know that the season wasn't over because we were 0-1. Or that we got hurt at that first game. That was a long season. So the mature coaches like Marty, like I see Coach Stefanski, knowing it's a long haul, almost kind of gets you going both ways. And that maturity side of it was impressive and a learning thing for me.
I was looking back over the records. You were 4-4 as a starter with the Cleveland Browns. But I have to ask, what the heck happened on September 10th, 1989? Did somebody not tell the Pittsburgh Steelers that the preseason was over? 51-0?
Well, I'm enjoying that one. I to go to Pittsburgh on the opener. We had a really good team that year. And early in the years, before you get some injuries and stuff, that team was loaded. And the late, great Bud Carson, who was the architect of the Steelers' vaunted 70s defense, was our coach that year. So to go down to Pittsburgh, and again, as a little boy growing up in Youngstown, Ohio, where you'd go to the old Three Rivers Stadium, and the Cleveland Browns never won there. So we had broken that jinx a few years earlier. So that still was resonated real strongly in my head. Of all the bluntly sad failures that we had at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon after a Browns-Steelers game, knowing that the Browns hadn't won. So we had never really had an opener against the Steelers at Three Rivers. I hadn't played in one, and I hadn't been to one. So for me to go play there and then really to have a good team and wipe them out, light them out, and to play against the great Chuck Knoll, like that was one awesome experience.
And as you mentioned, it was Bud Carson's first game as head coach, having just replaced Marty Schottenheimer. So he's got to be like, "Hey, this is easy. I like this NFL coaching thing."
I like, and that as the start of the season, that was the year was the third time we went to the AFC Championship game. And playing games like that, when you are able to start a season out with that type of dominant performance against a rival like that, and a rival that you've had poor success against through the decades, really, that level of excitement, that level of belief in yourself absolutely resonates, grows within you. But also, too, there is a point, too, of human nature of maybe it is too easy, too. And there is that balance, even as professionals, where even that year, because it was pretty easy beating them that year, and NFL games tend not to be easy, that the universal spirits and God get you back when you start thinking things are easy.
Another coach you mentioned, of course, as you always speak affectionately of, is Howard Schnellenberger. What was it like in college, because you didn't have the benefit of the preseason games? You know, your first test was opening day. Was that harder? Was it easier?
Yeah, you know, college and God, the late, great Howard Schnellenberger, he had a different approach than most of the colleges do. So in college, your top-tier colleges typically start out, and no disrespect to anybody out there, I'm not trying to cause any issues, but they tend to start out against teams that are not in the same caliber of play of them. So in effect, the top tier schools are playing against scrimmage type games where maybe it's not fair to the smaller type schools that they have to play against them. Coach Schnellenberger didn't really have that attitude. He wanted to play some of the best teams. So, you know, we started out our years against the University of Florida, and then we played the University of Auburn in the kickoff classic. The late, great Howard Schnellenberger had us play Heisman Trophy winner Bo Jackson. So when you start out at that level of play, and even to this year, our Canes are going down, and we're playing Nick Saban, so we're starting up against Alabama. So the more things change, the more they stay the same, where the University of Miami wants to start out by playing the best. Playing Coach Saban is the best, but when you play and you start out at that level, and you're really, you know, you're a kid, you know, you're 17, 18 years old at that point, those type games, it's way easier said than done to realize that it's a long season in the course of college. And unfortunately for college kids, the way it was set up back then, if you lost a game or so early, your season could be over. So I really like some of the changes they're evolving even in the college game, where if you do play a game early, the opener, and maybe you play a team that's, you know, a marquee game, if it doesn't go the right way, you still have an opportunity to have a successful year. Back in the old days, sometimes that was a little more challenging.
Yeah, I mean, talk about putting all the chips on the table and going all in. It's high risk, high reward. And yeah. I imagine if you win that game, holy crap, we can do this.
Yeah, it's great. The belief is you can do it. And then it really helps you, I believe, grow up or hurt your growing up if it doesn't happen. And I look at it the way it goes now, where, again, let's exclude this kind of hopefully what isn't a new normal with this pandemic in terms of who goes to games and who doesn't go to games. Like, unfortunately, like last year, you know, not having a lot of times people in the stands and stuff. But, you know, when you see a first game of the year on Labor Day weekend, late August, in front of 80,000 people on national TV, and it is a University of Miami against Alabama, or last year I remember watching Oregon, Alabama, you know, and you're seeing teams like that where, you know, these are 17-year-old kids that 9 months ago were playing in front of 150 people or 1,000 people, or were maybe going to the prom, and all of a sudden now they're on national TV at 11:30 at night on a Saturday night or Monday night football, having to tackle, you know, 185-pound kid at safety is having to tackle a 235-pound guy who's going to be the first-round pick, you know. Does he snap in half? How does that really work? You know, yes, it's great for him to win that game. We want to win it. But, God, there's a lot of times what's the effect of on the other kids who maybe the positive thing doesn't go that way.
Opening weekend is so big for so many reasons, but you know, I'm thinking as a fan, we're talking to each other, friends. Hey, who has tickets? Do you have tickets? Where I can get I can get one here, I can get two here, and I can only imagine what a player goes through because you're being inundated, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know what? It's torture now as the old guy trying to get enough tickets. There's not enough tickets out there. I know. I'm sorry. I can't do that. You know, when I played, and this is, I'm going to say this in the spirit of levity, and absolutely is a joke, okay? But it's the truth. That one of the hardest things for current players right now is your friends and family. Do tickets grow on trees? Do money grow on trees? You know, by NFL standards, they probably do, okay? But, you know, how you make that transition of that, it's really tough to do. So guys, and me in particular, because, again, I keep this a theme, and I'm not saying this to be funny or a martyr, but my athleticism was challenged. So my hyper-focus, my OCD of game preparation was so important to me for really my ability to be successful on the field that things like tickets were absolute torture. So to carry 50 or 60 tickets as part of your season tickets and a suite or two so that people could have tickets and not bother you. I hate to say it like that. I really hate to say it like that, but it's not bother you because, you know, everyone says they're coming to help you and help, you know, but there's nobody, trust me, when the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Baltimore Ravens are tracking you down between 1 and 4 o'clock, nobody you gave tickets to are helping you. And at that point,
I remember Trent Richardson saying after he got out of football that, you know, he reached a point where he was thinking about his family in the stands and his friends in the stands and where they're going to eat after the game. And he's like, I should be thinking about the game. And he wasn't. That's got to be a difficult.
It's a tough one for the young kids. All you young kids out there. We are so blessed to be pro football players. There's no doubt about it. God's given us such an amazing gift to come out of a lot of us lower demographic situations to be able to play and the love of our loyalty of where we grew up and our friends and family is so crucial to how we've got there and who we are as people and who we should be as people. There's no doubt we want to give back, but I so feel for what Trent said because you want to focus, you want to block it out. I'm not picking on anybody, but yes, that absolutely creeps into your head. And those type things, even if you creep them out of your head during the game, there's a way that people are around you a lot that make you sometimes feel bad about that inability to just focus on your task, to focus on playing the game, because you actually feel responsible for things that maybe are a little bit out of your control.
I work with a photographer at Channel 5 who is famous for his dad jokes, and one of the ones he's gotten a lot of mileage out of has been always, the Browns can't serve bottled beer this year. And you ask why, and he said, because they lost the opener. 120-1 record since coming back. Something's got to give at some point. But talk about a tough uphill battle this year that they have with the Chiefs.
Well, the 120-1 record on the opener, and you got me stuck on the Browns don't serve bottled beer. And I thought we were going down Bottlegate with Jacksonville.
I didn't even think about that. You probably don't serve it anyway for that.
Yeah, I was thinking because I was at that game too, and I was really amazed that some of the people in the dog pound had better arms than me. Okay, but that probably doesn't make good for make good for this.
But that gets back to the passion of the fans.
Yeah. The passion of the fans and how you feel is directly correlated to what happens between 1 and 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Now, I love patience and I love the long season. And it is a long season. And the year 2021 is going to be the longest NFL season that we've had to date. And Marty Schottenheimer, God bless, I love how you've prepared us for the long consistent grind that an NFL season is. But I certainly hope that we don't go 1-21-1 going into the 2022 year. You know, we're going to Kansas City. Unfortunately, I love the Chiefs as a football team. You know, with Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, love Travis Kelce as a tight end. The weapons they have, a better defense. You know, last two Super Bowls they've been in, there's no question. This is a marquee event right now to see where we are as a football team. And I absolutely love it. I absolutely love where we are as a team to go up against Kansas City on the road early in the year like this. Because the Cleveland Browns this year, for the first time this century, you know, we talk about how the season's going to be, and people say, are you excited about the upcoming season? And again, it's the year 2021, and through the month of August, this whole century, you know, I've said, yeah, I'm excited for the year. I do believe we're going to have a good year. You know, then I went to confession the next day after that because I didn't really fully believe it. This is the first year that I absolutely not only believe it, know it, that we're a good football team. And when you could run the ball like we can with the running backs that we have, with the running, with the system that we have, with the offensive line that's one of the most dominant in the game, with a defensive line now with the addition of Clowney, who's going to be, I think, a massive help in terms of run stopping and the physical presence in a defensive line. That travels exceptionally well in December and January in any type of scenario. And this being the second year with Coach Stefanski, it's really the first time that we've had a good football team, a talented team with an exceptional system. And we're coming into the second year of the same system with the same coaches, basically the same players. I believe you make a exponentially mental jump from year one to year two when you're a younger player with the same system and the same coaches. And we have that all teed up just like that this year with a massive physical presence. So God bless really any team that wants to play us late in the year.
Good note to end on.
Awesome. You matter. Go Browns.